The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And, of course, we love having Daryl on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always a delight to have him on, and he's powered by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, D?
Hello, Daryl.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
Well, buddy. How's life?
It is good. Happy holidays.
To you and yours as well.
Wow. You must be at the Ryder Broadcasting Systems today, not in Berea.
I am not hiding in a hallway or a closet in Berea. Yes, I can confirm that.
Hi, guys. The only people listening are your bobbleheads right now and us. And everyone is listening along, too. Yes, I forgot.
Pretty much.
Daryl, what do you think is going to happen to quarterback this week? Who's going to play?
Another fabulous Dorian Thompson-Robinson experience.
You think so? Is he injured? I guess we'll find out.
He's got a calf injury, but they're saying he's going to play if...
Tape an aspirin to it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll shoot him up. How else do you fix it? Yeah.
Yeah, physical therapy, massage therapy.
I'm just wondering if...
I don't think it matters. terrible. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm wondering if he's hurt too much, and Jameis is hurt, that if they pick up another quarterback over the next couple of days, be a nice Christmas
call for
somebody.
I'm really rooting to see Bailey Zappe.
Is that true? Are you being truthful? Because we've not talked about this on the podcast, so this is fresh.
After watching what I saw in Cincinnati, I'm rooting to see Bailey Zappe. If I can't get Jameis Winston back, I want to see Bailey Zappe. I don't want to see Dorian Thompson-Robinson ever again.
All right, first thing.
You can't
tell
throw
us how you really feel.
You can't really throw for zero net yards and a half against one of the worst pass defenses in the league and expect me to sit here and say, yeah, I can't wait to see that dude on the field again.
All right, so the first thing I have to point out, the Dorian Thompson-Robinson experience totally sounds like a band that would have opened for New Edition. Doesn't it?
No, it sounds like it's a jazz opening.
That would you think open, so? Maybe so, jazz? Yeah, like, I don't know. I think
David Sanborn tonight. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson on saxophone.
This is what it's come to.
This is where we're at in
anyway,
the quarterback situation.
Yeah. Part two of this.
Welcome to December in Berea.
Mm-hmm.
Part two of that, man, you are 100% right. It looked like a quarterback who everything around him in the first half was moving at like 1.5 speed, and he was moving at 1. And in the second half, it looked like everything was moving at 1.25 speed, and he was still moving at 1.
It's bad, and it's nothing personal against him. He's just not an NFL quarterback. Probably doesn't even belong on a practice squad at this point after watching that. Mm. I've seen enough. 9 interceptions, 1 touchdown. I really don't want to hear about being put in good situations. I don't think it gets any better than going against that Bengals defense. He's the only quarterback they've managed to stop this year, and it was unwatchable. It really was. And hey, maybe that was the plan. You know, maybe the Browns don't want people to watch their games the rest of the year. But
I'm pretty sure that Amazon said that last week, and so did Fox.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, they both turned the game down.
By the way, how bad is this weekend slate of games that they still had the Browns in a 4 o'clock window?
It's because you have 6 games prior to Sunday.
I understand but why didn't you flex one of those ones to the fours to put the Browns at one?
Maybe it's that whole thing of the Dolphins have a pretty good size fan base. The Browns have a pretty good size fan base. So even if it's kind of crummy, we will still get a decent number.
I still think someone needs to be fired for making us watch Browns football at 4 o'clock.
Daryl, you get to sleep in at least.
Yeah, but I miss out on all the good football that's going to take place.
It's all about Daryl.
That's
right. Everything's about Daryl.
That's a good point.
Listen, when I want to watch good football, I don't watch the Cleveland Browns this year, okay?
Dude, if it was up to me, we would be sending these games to Estonia and playing them at 11 a.m.
We fire this season into the sun soon enough.
Yep. Anyway, can we talk about the Cavs?
Sure.
All right.
I'd love to talk about the Cavs.
Let's go.
They're actually good. They're actually fun to watch.
All right, what has been the biggest change?
They have a coach that actually answers your questions when you ask them with tangible information.
It's easy when you only have four losses.
Hey, the Cavs have the Cavs have one more loss than the Browns have wins this year.
I was waiting for that, yeah.
Good. Oh, by the way, congratulations to the Browns. Two more losses, and they match the 1999 expansion team for losses in a season.
So they got that going for them.
It's $100 million per win. That's what Jimmy Haslam's paying this year. So that great analytics there over in Berea. The Brain Trust doing an outstanding job.
Man, it just got really cold. I think the snow's coming down. Thank you, Daryl. We were hoping for a white Christmas. You just made that possible.
We're trying really hard not to get fired this week, and you're making it hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
It's just bad.
You're right.
There's nothing good to say. Myles Garrett don't want to play here anymore because he's tired of dealing with this clown show.
Do you really believe he doesn't want to play here anymore? I think he wants to hold the front office to the fire here to say, is this going to get better and how are you going to get out of this? Don't you think that's what he's saying? You think he wants out?
He's had enough.
Wow.
He's had enough of this. It's very clear. He's had enough. And here's the thing. The plan that they're going to show him isn't going to be good enough because they can't get out of it.
I agree with you. What kind of plan can they show him that's going to make him say, you know what, I want to be a part of this. In fact, I'll take an extension too.
Yes, I can't wait to lose even more games here because I haven't done that enough in my first eight seasons. He's not wasting his Hall of Fame career here.
He's seen this show and it was called the Joe Thomas
he got
Show?
He got an up-close and front row seat to the first rebuild and the clown show that was and the coaches that rolled through here and all the quarterbacks that have rolled through here. They can't get it right. They can't get it right, and he's sick of it, and he should be sick of it. He should also be sick of his teammates too because they didn't show up this year. All these pre-snap penalties, lack of focus, all the turnovers, it's ridiculous. There's no reason this team should be where they're at right now. None whatsoever. And instead of being angry about it, instead of crying over it, we might as well just laugh about how incompetent they are this year.
All right, so
Kevin Stefanski, watching him on the sidelines, fans have been wanting him to show emotion for a couple years. Well, you're getting it this year. Because every play ends up being what just happened, and by the way, that's the PG version of what's actually coming out of his mouth and going through his mind, because he's not engrossed in the play calling now.
All right, so
he's able to just sit back and watch the disaster unfold in front of him, helpless to do anything about it.
All right, Daryl, your lack of passion take is really coming through here. But my point to you is, if you truly think he's gone, doesn't want to be here, what is his market value for the Browns to try to trade him?
Two first-round picks and more.
No problem getting that either, too, for a guy that's got 100 sacks. You agree with that?
He's going to be 29 at the end of the week here, and he's a future Hall of Famer. Prime of his career. There's no drop-off in his game at all. I think it was Pro Football Focus put out the stat. Garrett, for the second straight year, is going to lead the NFL in pressures, even though he's double and triple teamed and held on every single snap. And he's still leading the league. I mean, he is a once in a generational player.
Do you let him go if he's a white? I hear this over and over. He's a once in a generation player, right? Why would you ever let a once in a lifetime? You got to figure this thing out. You got to make him happy.
Yeah, but if you're Myles Garrett, do you trust these guys to get it right? after watching what they've done over 8 years? Do you trust any of those people in Berea to get this thing right? Do you believe a word that's going to come out of their mouths? I wouldn't. I absolutely would not. Promise me Sam Darnold. Promise me Kirk Cousins. What? Not interested. Here's the other thing that this is about.
So what keeps him here? Give me the player that keeps him here. Or is it the coach?
I honestly don't think that there is. I think this is the this is just my opinion of the situation. But I think he opened the door to tell the Browns it's okay to trade me this offseason. I think that that's what this is all about. He's giving them permission to trade him this offseason. Because here's the part that people got to think about. There's a major business component to this as well. He's due for a pay raise. He's deserving of a pay raise. He's got 2 years left on that five-year, $125 million contract extension, 2025, 2026. He's not doing another contract extension with the Cleveland Browns next year without knowing what they plan to do. And my gut tells me there is nothing they're going to be able to tell him that's going to be satisfactory because it's that bad. They're 3-12 bad right now. They're about to be 3-14 bad. Like, that's not just a quick fix.
Well, if you think they're 3-14, they've got the Ravens on the back end of this. They're 3-15 bad. No.
Well, there's only 17 games.
There's only 17 games.
Well, if you're really 18, listen, if you're really bad at math the way I am, they're 3-18 bad.
You're as bad at math as the Browns are at football.
Oh, stop now.
All right. So if you move on from Myles Garrett, Darrell, and again, this is just your 2 cents.
Yeah.
Are you just kabooming the whole thing?
Listen, I want to be clear. I'm going to hate the day that this all goes down. I think it's disgraceful that this franchise is in the state that it's in, and ownership is, quote-unquote, perplexed as to why they are, and nobody's going to be held accountable for it. It's fantastic.
Are you then just imploding the whole thing and going, all right, Denzel Ward, trade Miles, let's get this out of here.
Yeah,
all right, can we get anything for Joel Bitonio? Are you just completely kabooming the whole thing?
Well, Joel might retire.
That's good.
But if you are forced to trade Miles in the offseason, blow it all up. There's no point. If you're going to trade him,
trade Denzel too, then.
Correct.
Right?
Trade Denzel, trade Wyatt Teller, trade everybody. Go burn the house down again. And you know, look forward to the dome in 2029. But if you are able, by some miracle of God, to convince Miles to extend again with you, with your master plan, then you don't burn it down. Then you really, you know, you go into overdrive trying to put that plan into action. But Miles basically is telling you this needs a tear down and a rebuild because it's that bad, and he has no interest in going through any of that. That's what he's trying to tell you without coming out and saying it.
All right, Darrell, so are you saying there's 100% chance he's gone next season? What are you saying?
No. I think I would say there's a 60% chance he's gone.
All right.
I'm gonna give the Browns 40% because Miles made it clear he's very loyal to the Browns. He loves Cleveland. You know, he's really invested here. Like, I'm not sitting here saying he wants to leave, but he's not going to sit here and put up with what's going on in that building anymore. He's done. He's not putting up with it anymore. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. I'm shocked that Joe Thomas did.
So is the front office nervous about this then, or what?
They should be.
Yeah.
They absolutely should be.
Do you believe
ownership should be as well.
Do you believe a coaching change would hinge on it as well?
No, I don't think Kevin Stefanski's the problem. In spite of this, I realize there's some, you know, there's some blemishes there, but Kevin's done everything he can do in his power, okay? Other than just getting them to eliminate these pre-snap things. Like, he's not turning the ball over. That's not his fault. He fired Alex Van Pelt. He's changed all his coordinators in the last couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those guys have been changed. He has, you know, tried to bring in people that fit whatever they tried to do with Deshaun, and that hasn't worked. He has worked with 10 different starting quarterbacks as a head coach, and pretty much the offense looks competent with everybody but, well, Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Deshaun Watson operating it. What else are you expecting from Kevin? To me, the problem is in the personnel department. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem the Cleveland Browns have.
So is that what they? So like we talked to Mary Kay Cabot about an hour ago, and she was just saying, it feels like, and you tell me if you think this is true too. It feels like, you know, Barry and Stefanski are safe, but they're going to have to make some changes internally. Now, does that mean Ken Dorsey? What does that mean? What do you think? Does that? Are you talking about scouting? Are you talking about? You know, I don't. They have enough coaches for at least every position.
I wouldn't bring Andrew Berry back. As much as I like and respect Andrew, I wouldn't bring him back.
Okay.
I don't think his draft picks have been good. I think he has a blind side when it comes to researching players and what makes them tick and the intangibles that come with players. Okay.
Okay.
And whether or not they can learn playbooks, whether or not they can execute a playbook, whether or not they can behave off the field, you know, whether they even like the sport of football.
Yeah, that happened along the way, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I and you're dealing with people here. And I just feel like if Andrew can't quantify it on a spreadsheet, well, he doesn't get it. And that's a problem. You know, I look at the Cavs right now, and it really struck me last night how much people matter. And Darius Garland said something fascinating after the game about how he has learned how to talk to each of his teammates and how he has realized that the way he talks to Donovan Mitchell is not the same way he talks to Max or he talks to Jarrett or he talks to anyone else in the locker room. And the reason why I was so fascinated by that, but because here's this relatively young guy, right? He's still relatively young in the league, been an all-star. But even he realized, okay, for me to be a better player, for me to be a better teammate, it's more than just me knowing my teammates' basketball tendencies. It's me knowing, okay, you know, what can I say to somebody who's maybe in a little bit of a slump that's not going to negative affect them, but, you know, give them some positive reinforcement to help them get back on track, right? And it's different for that guy. It's different for that guy. For him to realize that, I just think that that's an incredible amount of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one area the Cleveland Browns lack. They don't know how to get to the bottom of what makes their 53 players tick and what makes them gel. And it ain't going to the damn Greenbrier every year, you know? And I think that what we've learned about this Brown season, last year was the fluky year. That was not what this team was. They were able to get a little lucky. They won a lot of close games, and I'm not trying to diminish their accomplishment last year, but I think everyone just kind of said, yep, went 11-5, got to the playoffs, we good. Let's just run
it
back.
Well, the NFL thought that too. I mean, look at all the nationally televised games they would have had over the last 2 weeks down the stretch here.
Yeah.
If they would have lived up to the expectations, but Daryl, there's a lot of people who just think if they had a different quarterback running this thing coming back, the results
would have
been...
Oh, I'm aware. They think this is a 100% quarterback problem.
The Browns do or fans do?
Browns. And here's the thing. Okay, well, how are you going to fix it? Kirk Cousins, who led the league in interceptions... Like, Kirk Cousins somehow managed to throw more interceptions than Jameis Winston this year, and that guy's going to come in and fix everything? Or it's going to be Sam Darnold if he's available? Like, there's no solution. They've been looking for a quarterback solution for 3 decades now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when they think they get it right, fate tends to work against them a little bit, and it goes south. Or you give a little too much power to a guy, and he's not mature enough to handle it, and so you kind of get fed up with each other, and you just, okay, we got to move on from that. Like, I just, you know, they don't get it right. And that's why, like, I sit there and say, if I'm Myles Garrett, I just don't trust these people. If I'm really about winning, the Cleveland Browns aren't it. They've never been about winning. This franchise has 22 losing seasons in 26 years. There is no culture of winning here, no matter how much we want to talk ourselves into it.
All right, Daryl, stop watching The Grinch all day and have a good day. And,
it was nice being on a guest on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're always welcome.
I'm going to crash it one of these times.
You're more than welcome to. We'll send you the link. You can get in.
I'll crash it one of these times for something dumb.
Are you
I'm here for
that?
Like the Star Wars movie rankings or something along those lines.
hey, listen, when we get into the offseason, that's my, or actually, no, when we get into week 18, we might just have to do that. I mean, let's see, what have we resorted to, Andy? We've talked about Ohio State.
Oh, the Ohio State conversation was good.
Skeleton Crew has been really good, gents. I don't know if you've been watching. It's been enjoyable. It's almost like the Goonies did Star Wars. It's very cool.
I wait for the entire series to come out so I can binge it.
That's a smart move.
Happy holidays, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Enjoy the holidays.
Yep, it's true. On our next episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where's a better place to vacation? Hoth or Tatooine? Or maybe even Naboo? We'll talk about that. Endor's not bad either. A lot of cool things hanging out there.